Certainly glad you're here. Go ahead and stand with us if you will. We're going to be looking at the Gospel of John. We're continuing our study of the seven miracles of Jesus in the Gospel of John. We pick up in chapter 9. I know it's a little bit lengthy, but I'm going to go ahead and read the entire chapter. I hate to leave any of it out. It all goes together. So just bear with me. John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath the man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and he made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with a clay. And he said, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He washed, and he came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He's like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and he said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes. And he said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. And who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, that he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and they said unto him, give God praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and he said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I've told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? We also be his disciples? Then they reviled him, and they said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As far as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered, and he said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is? And yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Then answered and said unto him, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and doth thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered, and he said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh unto thee, or with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into the world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and they said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Father, thank you for this amazing miracle. As we look into it and we jump into the depths of the characters and those involved in this process, that God, you had so much you wanted them to learn and to understand. God, teach us today from your word. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my unrighteousness. Preach the words you want preached. Speak to our hearts. Bring that deep, pungent conviction that we all need. And we'll glorify you and praise you for all of it. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. You may be seated. With each of these miracles that we've gone through, this being miracle number 6 already, we're already up to miracle number 6. We got today, and then we've got next Sunday and finish up. So also be praying about where we're going to go after this. We don't know yet. We're still praying about what direction to go in. But as we look at this miracle, I wanted to read the entire chapter because I didn't want to leave out something important. There's a lot of things happening here. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of interaction going on between Jesus and those, the man that was healed, with the family, with the Pharisees, and all that. And with each miracle, I've tried to bring a little bit of something different, not necessarily anything new, but I wanted to bring something to light that maybe we've not really thought about before. We maybe not thought about it in that way. So today, as I was studying this week and getting ready for this message and preparing for studying this miracle, rather than just dissect and go through all the events one after the other, because there's numerous messages that can be preached out of such an amazing miracle, I kind of came to the idea, and I believe God inspired this, that there's basically four different kinds of people that we see in this miracle. Four different kinds of people that you see. And I'm sure this has been preached before as well, but I've never preached it this way. But I want to take a look at those four different people, and I guarantee you, you're going to find yourself in one of those four. You're going to be one of those four people, one of those four characters that we're going to read about and understand a little bit more in this amazing miracle. The first in John chapter 9 and verse number 3 and 4 is going to be about Jesus. He is the obedient Son. Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Wow, didn't Jesus just show us a beautiful example of being consistently faithful? Jesus was the epitome of obedience. Well, I know we're going to say, well, sure he was. He was God. Yeah, but he was born and he took on this flesh. He walked as we walk. He felt as we felt. He had emotions to deal with. He had pain and suffering to deal with. But yet Jesus was obedient in every facet of life. And he set before us this beautiful example that we can do that. You say, well, there's no way that I can be perfect. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. We've already failed that one. We're already not perfect. We know that. But I've said this before, and I'll say it again. From today until the day you see Jesus, you could live the remainder of your life without sin. You believe that? If you say, no, I don't believe that, then you're exactly right, because you won't. But if you say, yeah, I believe that is possible. It's a matter of choices that we make. Kevin, you said it. What kind of witness are you going to be? That's it. What kind of witness are we going to be? What kind of person am I going to be? Am I going to choose to be somebody that is obedient? I have the ability. God will give me the ability. If I make the right choices every day in every stage of my life, then I can be blessed by obeying God and live the rest of my life without committing another sin. It is possible. The devil wants you to think you can't do that and you're going to already live a defeated life. He wants us to already say, well, I've already failed. I've already sinned. I've already made a big mess of my life, so I can't live a perfect life. From here until the day you see Jesus, yes, you can. You can follow the example Christ set before us, and we can be that obedient child. In Genesis chapter number 6 and verse 22, it says this, talking about Noah. It said, "Thus did Noah, according to not some or most, but it said according to all that God commanded him." Listen to this. "So did he." He did everything that God told him to do. Down to the very smallest, minute detail, Noah was obedient to God in everything God asked him to do. The first character we see and the first person that we want to make note of is the obedient son. Wow, that's the one I want to be right there. I want to be the obedient son. I want to be the one that you know, sometimes people talk about and they joke about that they had their first child and their child, that first child they had was just so good and well-behaved that they decided to go ahead and have another one. Then after that second one, they quit having them. They say that first one was well obedient, you know, well slept at night, you know, wasn't screaming and hollering. So, boy, that's such a good kid. We're going to have more, you know. Kind of gauge how many kids people have as according to how many obedient ones they had. Then finally they just quit. I don't know if that always is true, but I'm just throwing that out food for thought. But there's something to be said about us choosing obedience. Is obedience easy? It's never easy. Obedience is always going to cost you something to be obedient, isn't it? What's the biggest thing that obedience costs us? Well, we can think about, you know, a lot of things that being obedient might cost you money, it might cost you time, it might cost you resources. What's the biggest thing that being obedient is going to cost you? Here's what it's going to cost you. The greatest price that we pay or ever will pay to be obedient to God is it's going to cost us our pride. You're not going to be the boss. You're not going to be the one in charge. You're not going to be the one making the decisions in your life. You're going to be obedient to what God's telling you to do. It means He's in charge of your life and you're not in charge of your life anymore. It's going to cost us pride. We must humble ourselves and be humble before God and obey Him just as Jesus. Jesus said it. Jesus is God, but yet at the same time, Jesus said, I've come here to do the will of the Father, the one that sent me. I'm showing you an example that you need to obey the Father just as I am in this flesh and I'm obeying the Father. So today, do you see yourself as that obedient child? Do you see yourself as that one that says, I am maturing in my relationship with God? If you are, then praise God. You keep on trucking with doing what you're doing. Well, the next person that we see in this story is the one that Jesus healed. And I think he this is cool right here. I love this guy. John chapter 9 and verse 25, it said, He answered and He said to those people, and y'all probably have this verse underlined, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I do know, though, I was once blind and now I see. You know, there's some people in this life, and especially as people when they first get saved, they don't have to have a lot of insight. They don't have to have a lot of details. They don't have to know a lot of stuff. I am saved, and I'm just going to believe God, and I'm going to do whatever God tells me to do. I don't have to understand the details. I mean, this is the faithful child is who this is, with that childlike faith. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3 says this, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's been a long time since we've had little kids in our house. Both my boys are grown and both are married, and now we have our first little granddaughter. And I'm revisiting a lot of those little things that they learn and that trust factor that if I say, come over here, it's okay, you know, they're willing to follow. May not understand, may not get it, may not know all the details, but it's that faithfulness and that trust, that simple childlike faith that they have. Moms and dads, grandparents, they believe you. They believe you. They're going to do what you ask them to do if they have confidence and trust in you. If you've been faithful to them in the past and they've seen they can trust you, they're going to do what you say. They're going to follow that leadership and that example. And here's the thing about little kids like that, it's so beautiful. You don't have to explain everything to them. They say, okay, let's go over here and stand out in the middle of the parking lot and let's all look straight up and open our mouth. Let's just go do it. That's what we're told to do. You know, nobody has to explain to me why we're doing that. We're just going to go do it because I've been told to do that. And here's the thing about that childlike faith and that obedience in those things that God tells us to do. When we start thinking about it, when we start analyzing it, when we run it over in our mind, we try to critique it, we think this makes zero sense and it's ridiculous, God. Why would you ever want me to do such a thing? Then we start doubting and we resist and eventually we don't even do what God's telling us to do. You know, I'm thankful for the years, for the 50 years of growth that I've been able to have in my relationship with God. But sometimes I wish I could really go back to being 8, 9, 10 years old when I just believed that God could do anything and I questioned nothing. You remember those days? You remember when you got saved? You remember when you were young? You remember when those things came up? It didn't matter. I was just young, a seven-year-old kid. I got saved. I just believed God could just... It's not that I don't believe God can still... He can still do anything, but my mind has been cluttered with all of this junk and all of this stuff and all this worldly things that challenge and resist what it is that God, I long to have again that childlike faith. If you've got that childlike faith, and if that's you today, don't let go of that. Don't let this world disrupt and destroy that simple childlike faith and belief. You say, but I don't really understand. I don't even know half the books of the Bible. Listen, right now, that's not important. It'll be important, but right now, you just believe God. You simply believe God, just as we believe our parents, as we believe our grandparents, as we believe and trust those that we have confidence in, older than us. Listen, believe God, and you do what God tells you to do. I love to see young people get saved. Man, they're on fire for God, and they're out telling everybody else about Jesus. You know why they're out just spreading the word of God, and they're out talking about to people? They're not afraid about their reputation. They're not afraid. Because here's the thing, they don't know any better. They don't know any better. I wished I didn't know better. I think my life would be different. I wouldn't be conditioned by the world. Are you one of those that has that childlike faith? If you are, you hang on to that. That's a beautiful thing. Then we get into the difficult and the challenging characters of this miracle. We get into the self-righteous scoffers. John chapter 9, verse 16. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. We know who the author of confusion is. It's not God. Satan's the author of confusion. These people were so bound to what they thought was right and their religious beliefs that they denied the fact and they pushed to the side the truth that God's about healing and restoring and saving. Jesus made a little spittle, had some spit, and he made a little bit of clay and he put it on the guy's eyes. They considered him working. Oh, you're not supposed to be working on the Sabbath day. They were more worried about the fact that he might have been breaking a Sabbath belief of theirs than the fact that a man that was blind his entire life is all of a sudden able to see. Wow. Do we get caught up in religion? I'm going to tell you something, as church people, we sure do. We get caught up in the traditions of what we think are right. And I know we can look and we can say, oh goodness, preacher, we're not like that. We're not people that are bound to religion. We just believe what God's Word says. You and I know well that through the years we develop traditions of man that have absolutely nothing to do with this book right here. The terrifying thing is this. Because we've been so conditioned over time, we will honor and respect those traditions of man even when they oppose the Word of God. That's the scary part. Are you one of these self-righteous scoffers? Nobody in this house wants to say that they're a self-righteous scoffer. We may not think that we are, but when we are not pliable in the hands of the Master, when we are conditioned by tradition that is not necessarily godly tradition, and we're looking to things that we think are right rather than what God knows is right, we have become a self-righteous scoffer. And we scoff at the Word of God. We scoff at the direction that the Spirit wants to lead us in. Been preaching for a long time. I've been preaching a long time. Been challenged a lot over the years. People that say the Bible says one thing or say we need to do this way or we need to do it that way. And I'm going to say 90% of the time it comes from the basis and the foundation of a tradition that man has begun within that person. It's sad to see that people can be so fierce in defending a tradition of man over the Word of God. If I was so strong in my faith, if I was as strong in my belief about the truth as the Pharisees were in their religious beliefs, Well, we'd see a different world, wouldn't we, if all Christians stood that way? Today, are you a self-righteous scoffer? Are you somebody that holds on to what you think's right rather than believing and following what Jesus Christ says and knows is right? I know we don't want to label ourselves that way, but go back and examine yourself. Examine the decisions that you've been making in life. The last one, I think, scares me the most. The fearful doubters. John 9:22. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. These are the parents. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. Now, before I read this, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt because they didn't know about Jesus healing their son. They didn't know exactly the process. They didn't understand all those things. So up to this moment, they're fine and they're just in saying what they said. We don't know. We don't know who opened his eyes. We don't know how it happened. But here's the next phrase. They say, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, that Jesus was Christ, that he should be put out of the synagogue. Do you see what's going on here? We got a man that's been blind from birth, that Jesus healed him, made him to see. The parents acknowledged, that's our son. He was born blind. He is able to see now. We know something happened to him. We don't know who did it. We don't know how it happened. But we're not willing to get involved and back up what our son's testimony says because I'm more afraid of being kicked out of the synagogue and being able to participate in the synagogue than I am what my son is saying. The parents denied their child because of fear of not being acknowledged by the synagogue. What is wrong with these parents? I'll tell you what's wrong with these parents, the same thing that's wrong with a lot of parents today. We're worried more about ourselves than we are the well-being of our own kids sometimes. I'm not fussing at you all, I'm just saying in general. As people, we're more concerned about what we get, what we want, what we can have, even than our own children. And I'm going to say if we're not, as a society, as concerned about that next generation down below us, if I'm not concerned about my children, if I'm not concerned about the well-being of those young people I have an opportunity to be an influence in their life, I sure am not going to care if somebody dies and goes to hell that I don't know. This group to me is the scariest group. Why are they so scary, preacher? Here's why they're so scary. Because they know what to do. They know the truth. They know what they need to do. But they're refusing to do it because they're afraid. Because they're scared. Because they're afraid they might lose something or miss out on something. Somebody can be afraid, skeptical a little bit, afraid to give their heart to Jesus Christ, and you will die and go to hell because you're afraid of what it might cost you to believe in Jesus Christ. We're going to stand one day. Everybody's going to stand before God. We've been studying the book of Revelation now. It seems like almost a year on Wednesday nights. We're about done with it. Praise the Lord. Woo! Ain't never been so glad to have been done with a book. It's a stressful book, but we're about done with it. There's going to be a great white throne judgment. All those dead are going to be given up and stand before Christ. And they will, from that moment, when the books are open, when the book is open, will be everyone marched into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever. The suffering, the gnashing of teeth, the pain, the emotional stress that will be on, the physical pains that they will feel are all going to be some... We can't imagine how difficult it's going to be for those that reject Christ and go to that place. I think one of the scariest things of all, though, is going to be this, that the grace of God will not be there. Somebody lost today has a pretty good argument. Well, hey, things ain't too bad if it's not much different than what I'm living in right now. Hell don't sound like too bad of a place. Oh, friend, listen. You're still under the grace of God here. The grace of God exists, and we're in the age of grace. He's going to let it rain on the just and the unjust. There is grace plenty for all the world today. There's coming a time for these that know what to do, that have been convicted of their sins and told they need to embrace Jesus and His sacrifice that He made. If they reject Him, they're going to die and be cast into that lake of fire where the grace of God will not be present. Are you a doubter? Are you afraid to step up and be counted as a child of God? Are you afraid, if you are saved even, to step out in obedience to God? Think of the things you're missing out on. Think of the things that we're cheating ourselves out of because we're not willing to obey God. Preacher, my life just isn't blessed. Well, why isn't it blessed? Are you obeying God? Are you doing the best you can? Are you striving? Are you fighting the good fight? Are you doing as Paul said? I've finished my course. I've been faithful. I'm ready to be offered up. Now it seems like everything that God throws in my face and gives me an opportunity, I just deny it. I reject it. I refuse it. Well, that's why your life's not blessed. Something that follows obedience, that will always follow obedience, is going to be blessings. God will bless. You may not win $1 million. You may not have a brand new car, but you're going to have something greater and more valuable than money can buy or money can touch. You'll have peace that passes all understanding. You'll have joy unspeakable when we choose to obey God. I've shared 4 different types of people with you this morning. And listen, you know which one you are today. Are you that obedient son or daughter that you do your best to strive every day to glorify the kingdom of God? Are you that one that's not been saved many, many years, and you're that faithful child that it don't matter if God says run over here, I'm just going to run over here. If God says go over here, I'm just going to do whatever the Spirit tells me to do. If you are, praise God. Are you a self-righteous scoffer? Are you a challenger of God's Word because we're so bound by our own self-righteousness and our own traditions of man? Then those traditions, my friend, today need to be broken. And Jesus can break those things. Or are you here today and you're one of those that is fearful, afraid to surrender to Jesus as Savior? Or if you are saved, afraid to surrender in obedience to God, because I'm afraid what I might give up or what I might lose. You're one of those today. I'm one of those today. And you know what? Regardless of which one we are, I think we have need to be on an altar. We for sure do if we're those self-righteous scoffers. We for sure do if we're those doubters and fearful and afraid. But if we're that faithful child, if we're that obedient son or obedient daughter, I think we also have reason to come to an altar, because we need to come and just praise Him. Praise the One. I want to be that soldier of the cross. Amen? I want to be that. That obedience, I want to be that. God, thank You for what You've done. Give me strength to continue to do the right thing as You lead me. Stand with me. We're going to have a prayer and begin our invitation. Father, we come to You today as You speak to every heart in the house today. You know exactly who we are. Label us today, God. Make it obvious to us today, God, which of these we are today. Let us know the needs that we have. Let us know the areas of our life that need to be worked on. What challenges that lie ahead for us, God. Give us that clear direction. Show us what we need to do. Bring us to an old altar and help us to lay those things down. And from today, become different people as we rise up and enter into the world. If we are those obedient children, if we are those faithful children, God, help us to come and just praise You. Glorify and lift up a hand to the name of Jesus. Have Your way in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.